Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to welcome you all into a dry, warm church. A bit of a difference to what the weather is outside. And a very warm welcome to our visitor today. You can remain anonymous if you want, Anne, but it's lovely to welcome you into Forth. Most of the intimations are as printed. So many things are starting up again, either next week or the week after. And what I do apologise, we haven't got printed in the intimations, but our Kirk session meeting will be held this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock in the small hall. We will hopefully have the papers by then. Margaret's busy at the moment, and I would ask you to keep her in your prayers. The meeting is going to be partially taken over by the team coming to do our local church review. So even if we're not able to have a full Kirk session meeting, we do still need to meet, and Ian MacDonald will lead us for the local church review second stage. So do please, any elders who are not here, try and make sure that they know about that, please. I think all the other intimations are there, mainly music, a team meeting this Tuesday, and then our first session starts back the following Tuesday, the 20th of August. And I have a lovely postcard. A postcard of the Pitlochry Dam. Dear friends, our outing today took us to Pitlochry, where we visited the dam and fish ladder, and also Heather Gems, where jewellery is made from our Scottish heather. It's amazing to think heather has so many uses. A lovely day out with good company and good weather. And that's, of course, from the members and friends of Brayhead Lunch and Leisure Club. Thank you very much for your postcards. Any other intimations that anybody can think of that I've forgotten? No, good. We are here to worship God. God is love, and we are all God's beloved children. We can only love one another because God first loved us, and his love is a perfect love which drives out fear. Our call to worship today is verses from Psalm 50. So let's say them responsively as usual. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. Amen. Our opening praise is number 132, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, hymn 132.
Thank you.
It'll be so lovely next Sunday when Jigsaw are back and we'll have all our youngsters in the front rows. But the opportunity of the children not being here means that I can read you another of my wisdom stories, which so many of you tell me that you enjoy. This one is called Cooperation, and it's a retelling of a French parable. One morning, the sun got up in a bad mood. "I'm really tired of getting up every morning and giving light to the earth, day after day," it said. "I'm tired of ripening the corn and melting the snow. What does the human race ever do for me in return?" The sun was still thinking all this over when the rain arrived. "Lady Rain," the sun remarked, "you water the earth all the time, especially today, and make the flowers grow. You turn the fields green and fill up the rivers. What does the human race ever do for you in return?" Hearing this, the rain furrowed her brow, broke out in a terrible noise, and fell headlong onto the earth. And as she fell, she pounded out these words: "Listen, Mother Earth, you let humankind work you, rip you open, scratch and scrape you. What does the human race ever do for you in return?" The earth turned into its own furrows and murmured to the grain of wheat, "Hey, little grain of wheat, you let yourself die so that humankind can eat bread. What does the human race ever do for you in return?" And then the sun stopped shining, the rain stopped falling, the earth stopped holding the grain stopped germinating, and life disappeared from the face of the earth. Eventually, the sun became bored because there were no longer any children dancing in its warmth and light. The rain became saddened at never seeing the smile of the gardener in his garden. The earth became weary at never hearing the joyful steps of the laborer on her back. And the grain of wheat began to rot in solitude. Together, they decided to have a meeting with God, the Creator. And this is what they said to him: "Lord, everything is dying in this universe that you created to be so good and fruitful. Give back life to the earth, we beg you." And God replied, "My friends, I have given you everything you need to support life on earth. Life cannot be born except of you and between you. And life will be born anew if each of you shares of its nature with all creation. For life is born out of a sharing of life. And where cooperation is refused, life cannot be." We're told all too often at the moment that our church, the Church of Scotland, is dying. And I would say to you that each one of us, like the sun, the rain, the earth, and the grain, need to stop being tired of what we do. And we need to realize that when we all work together, when we all use our own gifts in cooperation with each other, then the church will again come back to life. We have to pray to God about it, but not sit back and let him do it all. But let's pray. loving, living God, we thank you so much for the gift of stories, that they can illuminate things that we maybe know but don't see quite so clearly. Lord, we know and we read about the interconnectedness of everything in your world, of the danger of bees dying out and the impact that will have on all the crops in the world, of the dangers of climate change, pollution, of plastic in the oceans. And too often, Lord, we blame other people and don't do anything ourselves. So, Lord, help us to listen to you and help us to get ready. Ready to do whatever tiny little thing we can do to help your world, your church, your people come back to life, renewed life, re-energized life. And we will do that only by faith in you. So let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn before our time of prayer is number 360, Jesus Christ is Waiting.
Thank you.
now invite Robert Allen to lead us in prayer. Robert.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, you declare through the words of prophets and saints, through scripture and tradition, that you love us and you desire for us to know you more. From the creation of the world, you have cared for humanity, constantly pouring your love, your life and your gifts into all who bear your image. Help us to know that we are valued, that we have gifts, that you have called us all to follow you and to build your kingdom in our world. We come acknowledging that you are beyond our highest thoughts, that you are greater than we can ever imagine. Yet, you come to us and offer a new way of life, a life of forgiveness, of peace, and of hope. We praise you for all you have done for us, and we wait in hopeful anticipation of all you will continue to do. You are unlike anything else we may meet in our lives, and it is only right that we come with praise and worship. We praise you for the example you have provided in the person of Jesus, for the teachings he gave, and the model he gave us all for us to live out. We're all too aware, though, that we fail to follow the footsteps of Jesus. We struggle to love our neighbours, and at times we do not love you. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us when our faith is lukewarm. Forgive us when we do not act or speak as you would have us. Send your Spirit, that we may be transformed into your likeness, and that you may give us the tools to build your kingdom here on earth. Be with us and bless us, Lord. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. And now Heather is going to read from the Bible for us. First of all, Hebrews chapter 11, the well-known chapter all about faith. I've asked Heather just to read verses 1 to 3 and then 8 to 16. And then our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 12.
Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, that what is seen was not made of what was visible. By faith, Abraham was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder was God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and as good as dead, and he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as sands on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of their country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself they will not wear out. A treasure in heaven, they will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near you and no moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for a master to return from a wedding banquet, so when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. He also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at any hour when you do not expect him.
Thanks, Heather. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn before the sermon is number 528, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Hymn 528. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. So the title of my sermon today is Being Ready. And shortly before the service, I heard some wonderful news about someone who has spent 2.5 years being ready. Tom has been diabetic since he was 16 and later went into kidney failure. For 2.5 years, he's been waiting for a transplant. I don't think we can begin to imagine how you live life constantly being ready for that phone call, constantly wondering when it will come, if it will come. And the wonderful news is that phone call came last week. And Tom had a transplant of both kidney and pancreas and is doing really well. And his mum's here in church today to give thanks. And let's all give thanks along with you. It's just wonderful news. And such an example of what it's like to be ready. The example I had prepared was the residents of Whaley Bridge, because of course they had to get ready to leave their homes at very short notice. And I did wonder how we would have coped in that situation. It's one of those questions that you're often asked in a group, isn't it? If your house went on fire, what one thing or two things would you rescue? And it's quite fun to think about it, but to actually be in that dilemma in the flesh and with very little time to think must have been quite different. And of course, it wasn't just the residents of Whaley Bridge. The priest who actually raised the alarm worked around the clock to support residents and to organise food and drinks provided by volunteers for the huge number of people who arrived ready to help. The police, the firefighters, the military, in particular the pilots and crew of the Chinook helicopters, the man in charge of the dam who was able to get the locks and the canal closed to stop the water pouring into the dam, and the contractors who built a road for the fire brigade pumps in just a few hours. All these people were ready, ready to work night and day as a team, cooperating with each other to help those in need. Our gospel reading today, which Heather read for us, addresses our need to be ready. Firstly, Jesus tells us to be dressed ready for service. And then, after the parable of the servants and the story of the thief, Jesus tells us, you also must be ready. And this time he gives us the reason, what it is we must be ready for. You also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We must be ready for Jesus' coming, just as Tom was ready for that phone call to the hospital. Now, I've spoken before of my personal understanding of what the coming of the Son of Man will be like, and I'm not saying that I'm right, but I see three different ways. The first is when Jesus comes to us individually, making himself known to us in a very real and totally unexpected way. I experienced something of this myself in 2001, and it completely changed my life. If it weren't for that experience, I would probably be now retiring as a vet and living a life of leisure, maybe. The second way is when we die, and none of us knows when that will be. But Jesus has promised in John 14 and verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I have no idea quite what this will look like, but I am convinced that when we die, we will come face to face with Jesus, and then at last, we will see clearly and be seen clearly. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12 tells us, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. And the third way is that moment which we believe will occur when Jesus returns, known as the second coming. And in the Bible we read, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. And in Matthew 24 and 36, we read, but about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So all three comings, Christ coming, are unexpected. How can we be ready? And in all three, we will see Jesus. But that means that we're also seen clearly, warts and all. And that's a bit scary. So first, I think we need to note what Jesus tells us at the beginning of today's gospel reading. He said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." You see, God eagerly wants to give us the kingdom so we can be assured of God's generosity and love towards us. Yet at the same time, Jesus doesn't dispel every fear. Being ready can also involve some risk. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If our hearts are so focused on our possessions, our power, our position, will we be able to be open enough to receive the good gifts that God desires to give us? Jesus is bringing a radical reversal of world order. The kingdom of heaven, which he longs to give us, to bring us into, is very different to our current normal. The story of those servants displays this so well, for when their master returns and finds them dressed and ready to serve him, did you spot what actually happened? It's in fact the master who gets dressed and serves the servants. He has them recline at the table, but only if they or we are ready. Then the warning comes. The example, if we knew that a burglar was coming to break into our homes, we would stay up and be ready for them. But we don't know. So how can we be ready? The people of Whaley Bridge didn't know that the dam was in danger until, thankfully, it was spotted and swift actions averted the danger. What we need most to be ready, I believe, is faith. And I would encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 11. It teaches us so much about faith. Faith is a gift from God. Sadly, we cannot give it to one another, or I can assure you I'd be throwing handfuls of it out. It's such a wonderful thing to have in our lives. But what we can do is to allow our faith to shine in our lives and in our faces so that other people will see and want something of what we have. Because then they might pray and ask God for that gift of faith. And he is delighted to answer a prayer like that. And then, having been given the gift, we have to nourish our faith, for it must be a living faith, not a dead one. We can do this through prayer, through Bible study, through meeting together, through worshiping together, through working as a team, through doing things for others, even if they never say thank you, and by being open at all times to God's voice, to Jesus' call, to the Spirit's prompting. And this does come with some risk, as Abraham and Sarah saw, and as I discovered, our lives might be totally changed, and it's not always comfortable. But here are a few encouraging quotes about living faith. A living faith is assurance prompting action in the present, and conviction spurring confidence in the future. Confident faith is an inner attitude. A living faith means that we trust God completely in the present moment, knowing that nothing will happen today that we and God cannot handle. I found it fascinating to read on the BBC website that the Whaley Bridge community was saved because Father Jamie MacLeod, a man of faith, whose house is just above the reservoir, looked out and saw how full the reservoir was. And he walked down his drive to see more. And he saw that it was overflowing and that it was flowing through the concrete and not just over it. And he was the one who called and alerted people to the impending danger. In my opinion, he was prompted by the Spirit to do that. So how alert are we? Are we ready for God's coming to us? For not only our three examples, but God comes to us many times every day. Too often we miss his presence because we're not looking for him, because we're not expecting him, because we're not open to him. So let's try this week to be aware of God, to be open to God. And let's be surprised by the many times he comes to us in the ordinary experiences of life. Let's make sure we're ready. Amen.
Just take it for granted. Was enjoying that. Let us pray. Loving, living God, for your many, many gifts to us, we give you thanks, especially today, the gift of faith, the gift of being ready. And Lord, we give thanks for Tom's surgery and recovery. And we give thanks for Audrey's wonderful musical talents, giving us such beautiful music to listen to. So Lord, we come to worship you with grateful, humble hearts, and we ask you to receive our worship, our prayers, these our financial offerings, and our lives, and ask that you will use them for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth, and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Our hymn before the next prayers is number 250, Sent by the Lord Am I. Speaking of readiness. As we come before God in prayer, our moderator has asked us to use a prayer specially written for the post of chief officer. As many of you know, since the General Assembly in May, our church are looking at radical plans for change to try and bring life back into our church. And I'm delighted that there is so much focus on prayer. So I'm going to begin our time of prayer by reading this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, head of the church, we pray for the Church of Scotland at this time. As we begin a significant process of change, give us wisdom to know what to do, courage to do what must be done, and compassion and understanding for those for whom this will be hard. We pray for the trustee body appointed to act on our behalf, for those who lead it and those who serve on it. Give them vision of what might be and practical understanding of how to get there. Help them to listen carefully, speak graciously, and decide clearly. Especially at this time, we pray for the appointment of a chief officer and for the first round of interviews on August 12th, tomorrow. Bless those candidates who are invited to attend and the interview group as they meet with each of them. Grant discernment to know your will. Make it clear to them who is the person for this responsible job. May we all support the chief officer and the trustees in the months ahead, as in dependence on your grace, they work with us for the renewal and reformation of our church, your church, and for the glory of your name. And here and forth, Lord, we thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for so many folk returning from holidays, refreshed and renewed, and for all the teachers and pupils and staff preparing for the new year, starting back at school and college and university in a few weeks' time, and for all our different church groups which are starting up again. And Lord, as we name in the silence those people and situations which lay heavy on our hearts today, we lift up to you in prayer, especially Andy Henderson, Sarah Ann Brown, and Bobby Hunter, who are all in Wishaw. And we lift up to you especially Bobby's family. Loving, living God, we thank you that you are ever present with us, that you are always listening. You hear every prayer, the big, eloquent ones, the tiny whispers, the tears, and the wordless groans. And Lord, you answer all our prayers. Help us to accept your answers and your timing, and to continue to be ready to be the answer to prayers when you prompt us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing worship, always a wonderful reminder, great is thy faithfulness. Even if we each just have a tiny bit of faith, God's faith never ends. Hymn 153. So now, as we go out into the week ahead, let's make sure that we're all ready. Ready to meet Christ in whatever way. Ready to listen to what he asks of us. Ready to work together as a team and to do good, even if we're never thanked for it. And now may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And as you will all know, my watch alarm goes off at 12 noon to remind me to say the Lord's Prayer. Shall we all say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.